This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Everybody, welcome to America Tonight. Kate Delaney broadcasting from McCarran Airport in Las Vegas. So you may hear weird sounds around me. My flight has been canceled like three times, but I wanted to make sure we had a show for you tonight. So I'm going to describe my surroundings. I got people checking their iPhones. I got this giant arrivals and departures boarding thing. I've got Hudson News. I got the gates, the check-ins, you know, typical airport. So you may hear music in the background. You might hear some announcements in the background. But just bear with us. It's actually pretty good. It's amazing what we can do with our technology today, and that's why it allowed me to be able to do this. In Vegas, I was here for the IMEX show, which is a huge meeting planners and events type of show, and the partnerships that people form from across the country, the business that's done here, and the billions of dollars, really, and some of the interesting people I've met. You'll be able to meet some of those on social media. I actually, if you go to Kate Delaney official fan page, in the next couple of days I'm going to post this really awesome interview I did with a guy. I was so excited about this, who invented this Zen space. And when you go to conventions, go to places, and there's so many people that are laying on the floor, they're exhausted. Some of you can relate with the different fields that you're in. And this sort of pod-like thing, which you'll see, was great. It was soundproof, and you could just zen out or do work or whatever it is that you wanted to do. So it was fascinating, and I had a great conversation with my uncle, easy to say, right? My uncle. He was really a cool guy. And anyway, I'm going to introduce him through social media there. And we're going to have him on America Tonight, too, by the way. And there were some other people that I met that were fascinating. People from all over the country, from every single state. Every single state. So let me hit the headers, what I call what's the buzz in your backyard and what's the buzz in my backyard. And you know what that includes? That includes this Khashoggi mystery and this journalist that's missing, this Saudi Arabian journalist who's an American citizen, a U.S. resident, and even the president. I love that Trump weighed in and said it looks like Khashoggi is dead, and he said there might be severe consequences depending on the results of the Saudi investigation and what the Turks come up with. And, you know, it's interesting that, as the Washington Post wrote a story about why one man's disappearance captured the outrage and media attention that war hasn't done. But, you know, in the months before this columnist, Khashoggi, for the Washington Post, by the way, disappeared, Saudi Arabia's government had started kind of racking up, I guess is a good way to say it, a startling record number of human rights abuses. And this coalition started this brutal war in, of course, Yemen, and thousands of civilians, including 40 kids, a school bus was bombed in August, have died. So the Saudis have jailed dissidents, business people, clerics, journalists, royal rivals to the country's de facto ruler, the crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, and it's frightening. So it looks like there could be a turn in the weather in the relationship with Saudi Arabia. And I think if we, you know, if we had a weather vane and we were looking at what the president's saying and what's going on, there is a very good possibility that our ally could become our enemy unless they do something about this. And then, again, Khashoggi, what comes out of the Khashoggi thing? And the president is saying it. He's saying, yeah, we're not going to stand for that. So I'd say that's a pretty big warning for sure. I mean, no question about it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Other things that are buzzing, other things that are being talked about include the Khashoggi thing, the fallout from the hurricanes and what's happening there, especially sadly what we saw in Florida. The cleanup is still going on. A lot of that debris is getting pushed away, but then what happens after that. And I say this all the time. Picture yourself, you're going along, you're having this little fabulous life, a bump here or there, and then your whole house is down. And then you got to piece it together. And you got to figure out what you're going to do next, where you're going to live, are you going to rebuild, what's going to happen. And that is a very difficult thing, as I can't even imagine what that would be like. I mean, really, I just can't even imagine that. And I feel for all the people that are listening to us in some of those areas that have reached out and they're getting help, and a lot of the America's Night listeners are helping, and we're doing it, and I'm doing it, and whatever little way you can, try to help the people who have really lost so much. What you give will come back in at a staggering amount, trust me. I mean, absolutely trust me on that. Lottery fever, I mentioned this in the first hour, has just crippled the nation. Everybody's talking about, did you get a lottery ticket, Mega Millions, Powerball? It's, you know, it's insane, but I understand it. 1.4 billion reasons, because the Mega Millions jackpot now has grown to its largest ever, 970 million. The Powerball jackpot is 430 million. That's 1.4 billion up for grabs. So you still have time to get tickets, but imagine playing in a pool. Imagine dealing with, I don't know, just imagine what that would be like to get that ticket, that winning ticket. It would be like the golden ticket. It would be the craziest thing. I mean, what would you do to help people? There would have to be some, I think, some sort of give back to whatever charity or once started charity. I mean, you know, whatever it might be. And by the way, are you battening the hatches as far as the cold is concerned? Are you pulling out those giant winter coats? It's coming. It might not be bad this year, though. The Climate Prediction Center is saying that it could be the winter, you know, outlook. It might be a little bit warmer in parts of the country. So even in the Midwest, where we, our mothership is in Minneapolis, and they're predicting, you know, might be tad warmer, might be in the 40s when normally it would be 25. I don't think anyone's going to complain about that. But then it goes to the arguments about what's happening and what's going on with the weather. And, you know, they actually say there is a thing called, and I just read about this today, the Pando clone. It's a cluster of about 40,000 trees at a national forest in Utah. They were cloned from an individual tree. How cool is that? So researchers with the Utah State University released a study saying the Pando is shrinking between wildlife grazing, preventing new trees from growing and older trees from dying off, and human efforts, big pushes to prevent its decline, haven't worked. They're saying that there's a clear lesson here that we can't independently manage wildlife and forests. Wow. Imagine the implications of that. I'm still stuck on the whole cloning the tree thing. How did that slip by me and I didn't realize what was going on there? But, yeah. That's kind of a cool hidden secret, right? And oh, by the way, there's always changes in travel, and I'm traveling. As I said, I'm in the middle of Terminal 1 in McCarran Airport and broadcasting there for you as my flight is leaving way after this show is going on, and I wanted to make sure I had the opportunity to do the latest greatest, talk about Khashoggi, talk about some of the other buzzes in the land like the lottery and what's happening with the lottery and the fact that the markets are down. People are talking about that. The Dow was down 327 points. Industrial earnings were down. And that gets people nervous. But sometimes that's a good time to buy in the market. All right, stay with us. We're jumping to the other side.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay Heating heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice. And it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com. Or call us, 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99 and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
All right, it's, here we are broadcasting from the middle of McCarran Airport, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, celebrating 10 years, actually, of America Tonight, so you never know where we're being broadcast from. I'm broadcasting from the airport. If you can picture this, I feel like Tom Hanks in that movie, I forget what it's called, I think Terminal. I didn't see it, but he's roaming around the terminal, and I'm going to be here for hours. The flight's canceled, all that stuff, so it'll swing past broadcast time, so I thought, why not? We're doing the show. We're doing it. We're going from McCarran in Las Vegas. So you may hear some weird sounds around me. If you do, it's people walking by. It's the slot machines going off. It's a number of things. I'm here for, or I was here for IMEX, which is a huge show, billion-dollar industry in the meeting space and event space, and people from your neck of the woods, from everybody listening to us, wherever you are, you're represented if you live in the United States or even outside of the United States. So from Alaska to New Mexico to Texas to Indianapolis to Michigan, your people were here pushing your state and trying to bump up the economy, because get conventions and shows to come to town, that means they eat at your restaurants, they eat and go in your neighborhood and do things that may even affect you economically. So it's important, and it was really cool to see it. I'm going to bring more of those stories to you, and some of the pictures, I'm going to put them up in the next couple of days. You'll be able to see them on the Kate Delaney official fan page, and so make sure you friend me there. You'll be able to see that. And Instagram, too, as well, Kate Delaney Speaker, you'll see that there. But, boy, it was really eye-opening to see that. I'll probably do a little bit of the man case, and sadly, I can't do this week's Nail the Score, because I won't be able to do that out because of the timing of the show and being at McCarran and whatnot. There are some great technological advancements, but I'm not able to pull that off here. we're thick into baseball, obviously, and we've got another week of the NFL coming off of a really interesting week. I always say that, but it is. But how about this American League Championship Game 4 fan interference call, one of the most controversial in Major League Baseball history? I mean, what are fans thinking? They've seen what happened with the Chicago Cubs fan that grabbed the ball years ago. The Jeffrey Mayer comparisons are happening all over the place. That was that guy's name. I even remembered it off the top of my head. So in the first inning of Wednesday night's ALCS game between the Boston Red Sox and the Astros, a fan interference call prevented a potential game-tying two-run homer for Jose Altuve. Red Sox right fielder Mookie Betts, who's incredible, went back to the right field wall, reached for the ball. A frenzy of fans in the front row did the same. In doing it, the fan made contact with his glove, preventing him from making a catch. Now, the umpire called Altuve out on fan interference in a game that ended in an 8-6 Red Sox win. The impact of the call is huge. Who knows what would have happened? So, controversial calls in the postseason are nothing new. Fan interference and playoff umpires, you've seen that, but this is pretty, I'd say this is pretty controversial. It goes up there with a whole bunch of other controversial calls, I have to say that. And I mean, I almost feel for the fans, but I don't, because they know, you've got to back off this in the postseason especially, and there is no way to know what that, like I said, there is no way to know the impact of that, what would have happened in that game, because clearly they lost by 2 runs. They would have had the 2-run homer. That would have made a big difference. But no, it does not happen. So it's a costly one. Let's put it that way. In the meantime, how about this? Cowboys receiver was suspended for off-season arrest. Boy, the Cowboys, nothing controversial about the Cowboys, huh? So the Cowboys, Jerry Jones sometimes takes a flyer on controversial players, but in this case it was Terrence Williams, suspended for 3 games for a substance abuse violation. The Cowboys were set to be without Williams for some time. He was placed on injured reserve 2 weeks ago with that foot problem he's having, but he was still suspended for the 3 games by the NFL on Thursday for violating the substance abuse policy. So he was arrested in May on charges of public intoxication. And he was in Frisco, Texas, and his Lamborghini was abandoned after it hit a light pole. They discovered him riding in an electric bike near his home. He disputed that he hit the light pole. His attorney said it was unrelated and yada, yada, yada. Bottom line, they weren't buying it. He's suspended for those games, and the Cowboys are without him. Wow. So how about that? They already were without him because of the injury, but that's not good. That's for sure. This is another interesting development for people who are following the world of sports. The NBA G League is going to offer $125,000 to what they are calling elite prospects. There's been some conversation about players and leaving college and what's right and all that. But the NBA G League is this. The G League, in this contract thing they're saying, it's players who are 18 years old but not eligible to enter the NBA draft. So G League President Malcolm Turner said the move will be put into place in December of 2019, since the NBA's 19-year-old age limit is unlikely to change until the 2022 draft. Wow, can you imagine? I mean, if you're that young and then, look, 125 to top high school prospects who don't go to college, you wonder how many won't go to college and then get the look, see that way. I know, it's interesting. It makes for certainly the conversation, I would say, over that. You know, absolutely there'd be conversation. Let's talk about, for a second, in talking about sports, fantasy football. Anybody play fantasy football? I hear the boos right now. Boo, boo. I got roped into fantasy football, and boy, it's crazy. Keeping up with the players, the injuries, what the list is. We're into week 7. Your player plays phenomenally. You get all these points. And if you don't know, I do a show on NBC Sports Radio on the weekend. It airs Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 6. And you can catch me there on Sirius XM 205 or on the mobile app. A myriad of different ways that you can, find me. So, in looking at the upcoming week, you know, you've got Tennessee and the Los Angeles Chargers, that still feels so weird to me. You have Houston and Jacksonville. You have Cleveland and Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield. It's so interesting to watch him and to see, you know, how the Browns have turned a corner, even though they got blown up last week. He's definitely, that was the right move for them, I think, and I think it'll prove to be one that pays dividends for them. In the meantime, the Giants are trying to figure out with their terrible slide, what are they going to do? Eli Manning getting just on sports talk radio skewered. Are his skills done? And what's Pat Shurmur going to do with him? And Odell Beckham Jr. Is in the middle of complaining about what's happening. And I guess, you know, they're trying to practice more and they're hoping it'll translate into wins, and, you know, some of the struggles will be over. There's no denying the Giants have made the playoffs, only, as a writer wrote in the USA Today sports section, three games, you know, once in the last 6 years, rather, and two Super Bowl wins are awesome for Eli Manning, but that's been a while now, and so the questions are coming. What's going to happen with the quarterback? Who's going to come out next? And what's Pat Shurmur going to do? And Shurmur is in that hot seat. I mean, he's a new coach, and he said they don't want to be the victims anyway. So that's why they're practicing more and figuring that could really, really help, because you got to just kind of have to hold your cool, I guess, as it were, when you're in that particular predicament, let's put it that way. Coming up next, as we wrap up Invade the Man Cave and talking about sports, week 7, I promise we will be back next week and the weeks to follow. Easy peasy with Nailed the Score. So for all of you who are waiting for it, I apologize for that, but there was no technical way to do it. And that's where I pick the game of the week, and then you call up or send me an email and you nail the score. You pick the team and you pick who's going to be the winner. So sorry about that. But coming up next, we have a couple of great conversations. One with Peter Lagomarsino, who is this incredible architect that I had a chance to spend a little bit of time with. You know, like when you're walking along in some city and you see this, like, rickety but kind of cool old fire escapes, you see those anymore? He did a whole book on it, and I had just been in San Antonio, and I had a chance to see it. I didn't realize it was one of his photographs that he had in his book, and it was pretty cool. And then Teresa Carrington joins us. And there's a woman who deals her own destiny. And in my book, I talk about dealing your own destiny. That's coming out on November 9th from Forbes. So you can pick that up on Amazon, but I'll talk more about that. But I love people who deal their own destiny. And she really did. And she was looking for something to do and to add some value and change lives. That's what she ended up doing. So stay with us. That's coming up next on America Tonight.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
And in just 19 days, the people of this incredible state are going to send Matt Rosendale to the U.S. Senate to protect your jobs and protect your Second Amendment, which is under siege.
President Trump at a Make America Great Again rally in Montana.
This will be an election of Kavanaugh, the caravan, law and order, and common sense. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be an election of those things.
Taking a look at your money now, stocks down on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average losing 327 points to close at 25,379. That's a loss of 1.5%. The NASDAQ dropping 157 and the S&P 500 losing 40 points. This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
Peter Larga-Mercina, who's written a book called The Fire Escape, and it's so ironic because I just spent some time in San Antonio and photographed the coolest fire escape I've ever seen for Peter, and we had an off-the-air conversation about it, and I'm going to let him tell you about it, but it's so interesting because his book is basically about architectural photography and whatnot, and I think I'm not an architect, but if I could have picked a second career, it would have been architecture. And I always look up and look at buildings and unique things. And I think he has such a unique take here. Peter, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. It's funny. Everybody's a wannabe architect. Everybody wants to do stuff. I get that all the time. Oh, I want to design my own house. But like we do a lot more than that. It's buildings and things like that. And I do a lot of commercial and industrial stuff for Boeing and stuff for the Air Force. So I get around. I'm licensed in 23 states. So it's like keeping up with all the paperwork is fun. But fire escapes, you know, that one you saw that we talk about, that was the first one. That was kind of the impetus. And it's ironic, like you say, that was the one you saw. That was the shadows on that one were so great. I'm like, I got to do something. And I've just been doing it forever, taking pictures about 11 years, I think, now. So.
Wow. And so because of that, is that what led you to, okay, I've got to do this, the fire escape, a visual survey?
To be honest, my first book was The Confessions in a Crown Vic, and it was kind of the words. And this was the follow-on picture book after writing 528 pages, A Critique of the American Dream. But what it is that to me, the fire escape and confessions are tied together because they deal with the issue of pluralism in America. And confessions is about multi-religion and multi-ideas and different parties all coming together, the American experiment. And the fire escape is the imagery of that. It's the light, shade, shadow, brick scoring, everything that you see. And when the shadow goes through the tread of the fire escape on the wall, it casts lines at a different angle. So you got different Cartesian coordinates. Cartesians are like the X and the Y. And, you know, the Romans designed things with the Cardo and the Decumanus for the north, south, and the east, west street. And that's kind of the idea, is you see all these different cross things. And I thought to myself after I was writing about this, is that that's what it is. Confessions was the words of what pluralism is about and where we should be. And Firescape is the imagery follow-on for that. I mean, that's where really it came from. I didn't really get that subconsciously until I started writing about what I'm going to say here, you know.
Yeah, and so the fire escape, it's kind of, and you talk about this, kind of frozen in time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of the other reason I was interested in this, because we walk right by these things and we just kind of ignore them, yet they're all over our cinema, in our movies, in our, you know, they're in our collective unconscious about what is the culture of, like, big cities. You got to build small and compact, and you got to get people out of them. And, you know, then comes along the Triangle Shirt fire, where I think it was 176 people were killed. And women, the girls were jumping out the window because they didn't have a place to go. So, you know, then the legislatures of the states, particularly in that case, New York, came about and said, well, we got to do something about this. So you can't have locks on your doors. You have to have a second means of egress. And part of it was in 2012, they don't allow you to put fire escapes on tight buildings that are trying to be grandfathered. You can't put them anymore. They have to be part of the building. You can have a stair on the outside, but not a fire escape per se. And that's kind of why I did this. It was published in 12-12-12, the first edition. I did 12 cities. And the second edition, I just kept shooting them. Everywhere I traveled, I kept shooting them. And so I said, well, I got to do a second edition. So here it is, 25 cities. So some small cities, some big cities, you know, and it's actually fun. I would tell my friends, hey, be very, very quiet. I'm hunting fire escapes, you know, to go out and find them everywhere. And it's neat.
Do you have a favorite couple of them or a favorite one?
Oh, wow. I would say, you know, you'd think Chicago and New York were like the best examples, or I'd say the most variety. But actually, Portland, Oregon has some of the prettiest ones because they're like a walking city, right? You could get out, park your car, and you could walk anywhere. And so I think maybe they thought, you know, we need to make these things look good. And if you look in the book, I mean, the Portland one, I think, is Portland, Oregon. That's page 85. It looks really, they're detailed. And it's not just lines and it's frills and detail and decoration on them that make them look like they're not just stuck on the front of the building, you know. So.
Yes, yeah, so Portland, it's interesting, as you say, and we're on, and people are listening to us in Portland, and certainly they know that, and others that have been there. It is a walking city, so it's interesting that you picked that as one of the spots. And you just described that now in buildings, the fire escape obviously has died. And you say there's other symbolism, which I thought was interesting, about the fire escape, and that there's something kind of, what is it, lonely about the fire escape? And I love that in my mind, I really grabbed onto that imagery that the fire escape's everyday existence, as you say, is to hang. It's just like you're kind of hanging on. And what did you mean by that?
Well, they hang there and they're like the hero complex. Their job is to get us out of the building at some time when we don't usually expect it. And it talks to us about, you know, our own human condition. Like we all need each other in life, but yet we exist alone. And so we know at some point we all face, you know, the ominous point, you know, we're all going to meet death, and the fire escape is there to prevent that one time. But we all know also that the second time maybe that happens, or third or fourth or whatever, we got to go to the bottom, and there's the end, and there's a beginning and an end. And that to me, what it speaks of, it's just like watching us and just waiting for that moment when we come down. And we walk right by. It's like really funny because they're there. They're everywhere. You know, it's
exactly
to me. Yeah.
Yeah, walking right by it, as we said, you know, when we talked off the air, that's what happened to me. I was speaking, and when I was walking down the Riverwalk in San Antonio, and I couldn't help but see this incredible fire escape that we mentioned at the beginning of this, and it just really caught my attention. I took some pictures of it, but everybody else was hurriedly going by. I don't think they even looked up at it, and so that speaks to what you're saying for sure. When you are out there hunting, we're hunting fire escapes, and I'm sure you still look for them as you're out and about. What I'm curious about your camera equipment, because the photographs are fabulous.
Oh, thank you. I actually, for the second edition, I bought a tilt shift, which actually, when you stand at a building and you look at it and you point the camera up, you're looking at an angle. So the bottom two points of the rectangle are closest to you, and the ones up at the top are away from you. So it looks like a trapezoid, and a tilt shift, the lens moves up and it tilts the building forward, so it looks like it's standing straight up. But they're an expensive lens, so you know, a couple grand. And I did that also to, you know, up the ante on having some better pictures. But I think what I do is, this is funny. I go on Google and I you know, rotate the XY plane, so I'm looking at all the 3D stuff, and then before I pick a city, and then I'll run up and down the streets and see what I can find, and then rotate and see the fire escapes, and I'll mark them and I'll put them in a Word document, and carry them with me. So I know exactly where I'm going when I'm going to go pick them. And then of course there's always four or five that I didn't see that come up, but you find the first one and then you just kind of wander it. And best time to shoot is 3 and 9. So it's 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. because the shadows are at the right point, and it's better when it's sunny. Some of the ones, you know, I just lucked out. I got a sunny day, and some I didn't. So, but still, you get all of this variation, like these Cartesian coordinates, and those things, I don't know, somehow attract me. It's about socialization. It's about interaction. It's about all the different things that, you know, we as humans recognize, the universal things that we know. And that's what I see when I see those, all those lines, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So now I wonder, Peter, as we come to the end of this, what's next for you? Obviously, you have a thriving architectural career, and you dove into this project full force, and you can tell you have passion for photography. Will you pick another subject? Will you do something else?
Actually, I'm working on book 3, which is the window, a visual survey in 50 cities, and I just shot LA, Hollywood, Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison, South Bend, and Indianapolis in the past 3 months. And so I'll have the 50 cities, and I'm working on that one right now. But that there's a lot of images in that, and it's going to be thicker than this one. And it just talks about reflections in windows, and, you know, the window to the soul, and looking out and looking in, and what we are and what we see on the outside. And you wouldn't think window. Well, what's a window? Well, when you see it, you're going to go, oh, but, you know, there's a ton of different types of windows. And so it's that one. And then the next one will be the door, which I'm going to work on with a colleague of mine in the office. And it's not going to be just America. It's going to be Europe and all the places we've traveled. So that'll be a collaboration. And then finally, the fourth would be the American downtown, which is a collaboration of all. I have probably couple hundred thousand images, so it's just a matter of sorting and finding the right ones, just all the details about our urban downtown.
Love it. Peter Lagomarsino, can't wait to see what the next couple of years brings. The Fire Escape, a visual survey, second edition, it's out. You can get it at BNN, of course, Amazon.com. Thanks so much.
Okay, great. You're welcome.
Run away, my soul. The city got a little too cold. To the hills of Ohio.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Book called Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. And wait till we dive into this. You are going to love it. So pay attention. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
So the title is great. I mean, it really grabs you. I'm just going to ask the broad question first. How do we truly move from the ordinary to the extraordinary?
It's about relinquishing our egos, not only our psychological ego, but also our spiritual ego. And they come into existence because we all experience emotional wounds and traumas, whether minor or greater. And in the process of doing that, the egos form. Now, the egos do have a useful function. They protect us from doing destructive or stupid things. But on the other hand, they can limit us and keep us from expanding and growing. And life is meant to be joyful. We're meant to walk the path of joy. And in doing that, we have to learn how to relinquish the ego so that we can begin the process of moving forward to creating our lives as masterpieces of joy.
This is powerful stuff. And, you know, walking the path of joy, anyone listening to this, I guarantee, who doesn't want to do that? And it's a tough thing to do, to relinquish the ego. And you said it, you need it for protection in certain ways, but to walk that joy, that path of joy, you have to relinquish it. So give us some tips or some ideas on how we can start to do that.
Well, part of the process is to learning how to be still and go within. We live hectic and busy lives, and our mind likes to fill itself with all kinds of chatter and thoughts. And we find diversions and things like television and the like. And what we have to learn how to do is to just go silently within and begin to contemplate our lives, what's going right, what's going wrong, and how we can change things. And then in certain cases, we have to begin to explore all the healing technology that's available to us, whether it's self-help books, getting into some kind of counseling or therapy, or finding a religious tradition that emphasizes the positive and not is fear-based and negative. And in doing those things, we begin to learn how to let go of the ego and the negative aspects of the ego and begin to walk a path of joy. With our current technology and availability on the internet especially, the thoughts and ideas that were once allowed for a select few are now available to all of us. And if you're guided, you can find things that will help you to move forward. And since there are no coincidences in life, you're able to find the path that you're directed to begin the process of doing this.
And we're speaking with Eric Alsterberg. The book is called Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. You are, I'm sure, going to rush out and pick this up when you're listening to this and talking about hanging on to. That's why I said this is such a great topic, subject, et cetera, and it's been your life's work, and you've seen this in dealing with people. If you can just get there, it really is. It really does open up everything to you, right? Because you know how to get through whatever the hurdles are that are thrown your way when you can walk that path of joy, right?
Yes. And the process helps guide you even further to moving forward. So as I go forward in the book, I talk about how to relinquish the ego and truly walk the spiritual path. And the spiritual path is complete forgiveness, and most importantly of yourself, complete non-judgment, and unconditional love. And although those sound very simple, they're actually very hard to do. But it is possible to do it. And in doing that, you really begin to manifest that path of joy that we're talking about.
Yeah, and you talk about non-judgment, and that's one of the harder things, isn't it? Because of the world we live in, because of how we are raised and how we look at things through whatever lens that is. Part of that is, isn't it going back and just relinquishing, like you said, forgiving yourself and just letting go of all of that fear?
It is. And it's amazing in working with my clients, the thing that they find the hardest to do is to forgive themselves. So one of the dangers with our egos is that we continually punish ourselves and feel that we have fallen short. And in fact, if you understand God and unconditional love, he's already forgiven us. So in our ego, we say, well, God's forgiven us, but we can't forgive ourselves. And that's the furthest from the truth.
So somebody starts on this journey, and you said it, you've work with so many people and you've seen this over the years. Is that what drove you to write the book? Because you knew, hey, I've got this key and it's all coming together. To me, it's like you're a great puzzler and you've put the pieces together. Does it feel like that? And is that why you really wanted to share this with everyone?
It is. And part of it was as I increasingly walked the metaphysical path as well as the work I do with clients, I began to put all together the thoughts about this and give people the idea about how they may do it for themselves as well.
What do you think is that, and you talked about it, whether it's self-help books, and of course the stillness is so important, and the various specific tools in doing this that you talk about in your book, but what do you think is the first thing that someone really has to do as they try to decide, okay, how am I going to tackle this?
Well, the first step is just to be honest with yourself that life isn't always gone as well as we'd like and that we get trapped in defensive systems and ways of thinking that interfere with our ability to move forward. And so we live lives of quiet misery rather than seeing that there really is the possibility to move forward and create joy in our lives. A great example is when we have that first rejection in our teen years of our first love, and so we make a decision at the ego level that we're never going to trust anybody again and never let anybody get that close to us. And so we stay trapped in that quiet misery rather than seeing that taking a risk and really truly finding and experiencing love, no matter what the outcome may be, is really the way to go. And so as we learn how to do that, to take risks, to take chances, to climb that mountain, we begin to see that we really can have a much better lifestyle for ourselves.
Yeah, and you mentioned this in talking about that with you, too. You've really opened up a lot of doors through the metaphysical path. And it's interesting because more people are starting to gravitate toward this. I think a long time ago, decades ago, there was somewhat a hesitancy for some people. But why is that such a great way to go?
Because what you realize is that there's a larger truth and a larger reality than what our five senses say exists and what the collective consciousness, which is now shifting, by the way, says is reality. So as people have learned to experience deja vu experiences, as they've learned to experience seeing somebody in a crowd and feeling like they know them and that person looks at you like you know them, and when you start to see near-death experiences being recounted, all these things lend themselves to a larger reality that we can begin to tap into. And that's where the relinquishing of the spiritual ego becomes very helpful as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the book is called Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. I'm wondering, because right away I'm thinking about a sequel. Are you planning a sequel?
I am. I've already been formulating some ideas about how we can then further take this relinquishing of our egos into a more spiritual path of life and into different levels of consciousness. We live in a world that believes in a 3D consciousness, and in reality, there's other levels of consciousness, and we can begin to move into those as well and more walk the spiritual path and experience what it is to be truly aligned with our God self, our higher self.
Wow. I can't wait for that, I got to tell you. But this book is phenomenal. What do you hope people take away from this, Eric?
That they really begin to understand and see that there's more to life, that they can really begin to walk a pathway of joy and experience life at higher and higher levels of happiness and joy. What I do in the book is I talk about learning how to create balance in our lives, how to heal ourselves at all levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, that there's really a real masculinity, that it's important for the return of the feminine in our lives, and how to have healthier relationships. And I also have a chapter on the sacred responsibility of parenting, because I think that's the most important job in the world, is being a parent.
Absolutely, I agree. Pick up the book, Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. Eric Alsterberg, my pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We promote the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse and invite you to try them today by visiting GCNLife.com. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.